Oh, hey, are we on the air? I believe we are.
Okay, our computer just shut down.
Hey, Tim, do you want to shut that door there?
I think the door stopped shutting.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh, we had to do it manually.
That was amazing.
It's just that it went to power save mode.
Let me stop and explain what you... Yep, my computer is still on. Let me explain what happens here. What just happened moments ago. Glad I was standing right here.
Yeah.
There are four computers.
Uh-oh.
Are we off the air?
No, we're on the air.
It's somebody else.
Somebody else is off the air.
It's Smokey. Smokey has a panic look
on him. Ha-ha! Sharon, you are! In your
Unless
face.
It's us.
Wait. Is it us? No, it's us.
No, it's not us.
It's not us.
We're on the air.
We're all shocked.
Oh, here comes our computer. Uh-oh.
The dreaded blue screen is back.
All right, well, let me explain what happened just moments ago. We have four computers in the studio.
We do?
Sarah Dillon has a computer, and we'll figure out what's going on here.
I just won't touch anything.
Yeah,
red X. Another big red X.
Let's all stop. Here's what happened. Several things just happened at once. We had some sort of power surge. Sarah has a computer with which, you know, she manages MySpace, finds news stories, does all of that stuff. I have a computer that I use to read email, to find news during the show. And then we have two computers right here above where Sarah works at Sarah's master control console that run a program called Audio Vault. And Audio Vault is a program that stores all of the sound, all of the commercials, all of the show cuts, everything we use on the program.
All the time.
All the time. And so that commercial ended. The weird thing is it was right as the spot ended.
Mm-hmm.
There was some spot. It was like 1-800, blah, 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 blah. Call now. And then the computers right in front of Sarah, which literally run everything but my voice, everything but our voices, comes off these two computers, and they just turned off. It was like someone had hit a reset button somewhere. Simultaneously, Couple, which is our sister station, went off the air. So that's perplexing. Is Couple still off the air?
Ah, no, they're not.
All right, so there
and
you go.
Then the Amtrak train en route from Portland to Seattle derailed near Tacoma.
So clearly the end times are upon us.
It's resetting something.
How pleasing, though, to be the station that didn't go off the air for once.
We're the station that doesn't go off the air.
We are a new positioner. Slightly more stable than we used to be. All right, let me get some of these phone calls here. Here's what's coming up later on. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. We got Scott Daly's going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. And as soon as the Couple situation resolves, Sarah, we'll get somebody here to look at the audio vault.
Oh, because it looks like it's back up. Do you think I can just close this?
I think you can just close those error windows. Just hit OK. See what happens.
No, I'll hit the little X's.
And...
Ah!
Wow, that's exciting.
Why don't you try playing something?
You're listening to the Rick Emerson Show.
Fantastic.
Here we go.
Hey, we're back.
State Radio.
It's right, almost as if it never happened.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. One of the engineers is just... you know why this happened?
Why did that happen?
The engineers were just accosting me in the hallway about cereal now. There was clearly something was being neglected, so they could come and yell at me about puffed wheat. Let me just get these phone calls here, and then we'll have Jim Roop coming up later on. Also, we'll have the top five rock and roll screams of all time. I never did tell you this story about a woman who caught on fire in my kitchen the other day. Let's get John. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, hello. How are you?
What's up, brother man?
Worst cereal of all time.
I'm sorry?
The worst cereal of all time.
Which is?
Count Chocula.
Mm. Count Chocula, though, another... Here, have you noticed this? Here's the thing I think about sometimes. In fact, quite a lot. In fact, a really, really, I think about this way more often than I should. That nothing... How do I put this? No non-chocolate chocolate product ever tastes good. In other words, a chocolate bar. You go to the vending machine, you get a chocolate bar to the machine, it's actual chocolate, you eat it, it tastes fine.
Yeah.
But a food that's not really meant to taste like chocolate... that they have given a chocolate flavor to. In other words, like a cereal, or there are chocolate sodas, or they have tried chocolate gum now and again. Those never work. Have you noticed that they have never once come up with a non-chocolatey product, you know, that is flavored like chocolate that doesn't taste like ass?
But our mothers thought we would really enjoy anything chocolate, you know, and we didn't read ingredients when we were kiddies, you know?
No, so of course...
And the ingredients on this Count Chocula probably had... partially hydrogenated oat sugar, chocolate sugar, deep chocolate sugar, sugar.
No, there's some sort of a kickback thing going on with the American Dental Association. The best thing about the Monster cereals was the commercials. That was it. Right now, I will ask you if you can name all four Monster cereals. Go.
No.
You can only name Count Chocula?
Monsters.
There were four monster-themed cereals. Count Chocula was one of four.
I think the packaging scared me as a kid. Okay. I couldn't look at the packaging.
I wouldn't tell people that if I were you.
I know it.
All right, thank you, sir. There we go. That's John. Tim Riley, can you name the other monster cereals?
No, I never ate them.
I didn't either. But it's part of being an American. It's shared cultural knowledge.
Hmm. I never looked at them.
You know what? You're never gonna get a job at a hot AC station pandering to Gen Xers if you can't name all four monster cereals, Tim Riley.
I always ate the same cereals all the time.
What did you eat as a prep school student?
Mostly.
Was it just like Mueflix and just bowls of dust and just bits of a tree covered in needles?
I ate a lot of oatmeal.
Of course, I should have guessed. Probably with like one lump of sugar.
No, was bananas.
Okay.
And cream of wheat.
That makes total sense. I don't know why I didn't
think
about that.
And something called Farina.
Farina was like, is this the most boring topic ever? I can't really tell.
And I'm totally
Can we talk about
out.
My favorite salad dressings, Victor?
I'm just saying, Farina, I believe, is like cream of wheat.
We're really boring people. Yes, it is. On a good day, you had cream of wheat. The next day, you had Farina.
We should get Tom Parker on the show. Just kind of complete things. Complete the vibe. I'm sorry, was that mean?
That's terribly mean.
never mind. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, I got a cereal for you. Called Uncle Sam's.
Okay.
Uncle Sam's cereal?
Yes. Is this a bad joke?
No, it's a shiny box. It had a picture from the, I Want You poster, and advertised itself in large letters at the bottom as a natural laxative.
Oh, that's like my mom used to eat. My mom used to buy the Bran Buds. Bran Buds. It's a terrible cereal. B, you see it in the cupboard as a child, and it makes you think about your parents' bowel habits, and that's just all kinds of unpleasant. That's only a couple notches below thinking about your parents doing it. You know what I mean?
Very true.
All right, there you go.
I can think of something worse out there.
Thank you, Steve.
I don't think they have it out here, but back east in New England, there was this cough medicine called Father John's, and it was made out of cod. It was the worst-tasting thing you could possibly... There's a picture of a Catholic priest on it, and it's Father John's cough medicine.
It's a cough medicine made out of cod.
Made out of cod. It's the worst-tasting thing you could possibly...
There's some sort of a... See, and there's a joke there that's just out of reach. Father John, priest, and then there's like a cod god joke right there. Like a pray to cod, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know what it is. If I wasn't sick, I'd have that joke. If I was at 100% today, I'd be able to use that cod pun for all that it's worth. Because that really is low-hanging fruit. I'm not able to play it through today. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This is one of those topics that I think is interesting to some people, but not interesting to, say...
I'm starting to get a little bored by
Sarah. All right, well, let's do one more, and then we'll be done.
One more of what?
One more of these calls. Rich, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'd like to name those monster cereals.
Oh, thank God, because if you can, then we'll all be done here.
Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Booberry, and there's a fourth one. I can't remember it.
Okay, well, that's not really being able to name all four of them.
But it's better than the other guy.
See, when you pre-position it as, I can name all four, when in reality, when you picked up the phone and dialed, when you called this program, you knew in your black heart you could do no such thing, sir.
I couldn't, but I just put a plug in for Wheatina. It's even better than Farina.
I'm sorry?
Wheatina.
I can't hear you.
Get my phone.
No, we're losing. No, it... The best part of that was half true. His phone was bad. That's another guy that'll spend the rest of the day feeling bad about his cell phone. Okay.
Does that make you feel good?
It does. It does. You know what? Nothing makes me feel better than laughing at the shortcomings of others. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Tim Riley, would you like to do a couple of news items here?
Why, yes, the Mona Lisa decorating a hillside off Highway 20 near Newport may be smiling, but motorists crashed in the area have not. The grassy 40 by 60 foot canopy of Leonardo da Vinci's masterpiece is apparently distracting drivers to the point of recklessness. There have already been two crashes this week.
Let me see.
Overturned trucks.
Okay, this story is completely useless without a picture of the thing.
Oh, it's on the next page. It's a picture of the Mona Lisa carved out on the hillside.
It's not on the next page.
It was.
It's gone.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not there anymore?
No, it's a magical piece of
paper. I don't
know
what happened to it.
The picture was there.
Oh.
Now it's not.
Well.
Let's move on, shall we?
I guess so.
Let's join Tim in his quest for the Mona Lisa picture.
This is much more interesting than the cereal topic. You're right. Let's listen to Tim rifle through a stack of paper looking for a black and white picture of a thing.
Mona Lisa on
of
the
a
hillside.
Thing carved out of weeds.
Meanwhile.
Jesus Christ.
Let's do the penis watch. At least we know that's there.
Go look at my enormous penis, and my troubles start a-melting away.
I know I had that a few minutes ago, because
this is how it starts, by the way.
And everything is going.
Is someone you know forgetting things? Do they ask the same questions over and over?
Maybe it's because I should have eaten a little Wheatina.
Yes, exactly. You should have taken more of that cod oil.
Yes, I should have. This comes to us from New Delhi, which is in India. Wanting to lead a normal sex life, an Indian businessman who was born with two penises has asked New Delhi hospital doctors to remove one. The 24-year-old has a rare medical condition known as the phallus. There are only 100 other cases of this in the world. There are 100 other people walking around like this.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you?
You're so jealous, Rick.
It's not just me.
It boils down to about one in every 5.5 million males.
Here's the thing, is that everybody, because we are not the first on the scene with this story by a long shot. There's many people who've talked about this before. There's a thing I pulled last week, and we didn't get to it, and so we get into it today. Every single person, and I do mean that, every single person who has heard this story has had exactly the same reaction that Sarah Dillon had this morning, which is, that guy ought to be in porn, like, right now. At least...
Because they're both fully functioning.
They are both fully functional. We're literally speaking medically, aren't we, Tim?
Yes, we are.
Because he is having a medical procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that does affect other men. Maybe not a great number of them.
No.
But 100 others, at least.
There are 100 other people walking around like this.
So who knows? And here's the thing is, how does he pick which one? That's got to be like choosing between, that's like a Sophie's Choice kind of a thing. That's like choosing between your children. How are you, you know, I can't even imagine facing such a choice. But here's the thing. The guy really ought to be making at least one porn film before he gets that taken care of. Because after that, there's just no going back. There's no, and he will wake up someday and he will rue the missed opportunity. I do believe that if you're a guy like this, you owe it to yourself and to the world at large to make at least one adult film. You know, like that John Wayne Bobbitt guy. He had the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
John Wayne Bobbitt, his manhood is removed. Wife tosses it in the gully somewhere, gets it reaffixed, makes a porn film. There you go. Doesn't have to make any, you know, doesn't have to be more than one. Makes a porn film. You just get a little dollar off of that. Same thing with, you know, it's like that Soleil Moon Frye's the same way. You know, Soleil Moon Frye, this Punky Brewster girl. And have you noticed this? That's the only thing anybody knows about her. She's like the Dave Coulier guy. I've talked about this before, about celebrities or pop culture things about which DJs only know one fact. And so, it's like with Nirvana songs, it's that he mentions having a gun a whole lot. Ha ha ha, everybody, you know, yeah, you're a genius. It's with Soleil Moon Frye, you mentioned Punky Brewster, I will guarantee you this right now. If you were to call 100 kooky morning shows right now and work Soleil Moon Frye, or not even that, but work Punky Brewster into the conversation. Think of all the things you could do with that. You could talk about NBC. You could talk about sitcoms. You could talk about fish out of water shows. You could talk about shows coming out on DVD. You could talk about child stars. Every single DJ on the earth would go, yeah, I'm going to show this huge count. That's what everybody remembers about her, is that she had like 38 triple D breasts at one point, which she then got reduced. My point is that she should have done at least one, like, photo layout somewhere before she... Because you can't go back and get them put back on now. So she really should have cashed in at least once before she got this taken care of. Same thing with this guy, because he's going to regret it. Scott is feeding me puns about the word cod. It's too late. Let it go. All right.
There's nothing more that needs to be said about that, really.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. I take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
God damn it. Okay, thank you.
Now this meatball magic machine magically makes 9 perfect meatballs in seconds.
Just you, apropos of nothing, just saying, look at this magic meatball machine. It's pretty much the greatest thing
look
ever.
Look at that.
Hey, it is a magic meatball machine.
I told you, I knew you'd be pleased to see that.
Why? I knew you'd be pleased to see this. Why do you have this?
Oh, I don't know. I just happened to be going through the internet and it attracted my attention. Well, these are some other strange devices that have been on TV lately.
Listen to this phrase. Wipe yourself into a good tan. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, of course, the worst one is the transforming WTC coin. Have you seen this?
Where the building stands up and then falls down.
I guess
down.
When they play the national anthem, it goes up.
Yeah.
That's all really right. Strange, too.
Scotty, should I be taking these calls before we bring down the curtain on this whole sad, sorry segment?
How about the Ronco GHL great-looking hair system?
Oh, well, no, but this is a different list than I was going to do. Now, I had the top 10 Ron Popeil's.
These are the 10 stupidest products seen on TV.
See, but you know what this is? This 10 stupidest, was this from a blog?
Yes, it is.
Okay, here's what it is, though. You know, that 10, the list that I was going to do, which in all
which
fairness.
Which you still can do.
Which I will do.
All right.
The fact that somebody else has done it in no way hinders me from doing it. I must also say that in all fairness, Mike Chase apparently did a Ron Popeil list the other day, so I got to give credit there. But there was a Forbes article. Mm-hmm. About the 10 greatest Ron Popeil inventions.
And so
this blogger, though, this is a thinly disguised ripoff of that article, is what it sounds like to me. All right. Yeah. Let me finish these calls. Mm-hmm. We'll come back with Jim Roop. We'll talk all things Ron Popeil. Later on, Scott Daly will be here to talk about Beer Fest.
I'm going to find that Mona Lisa on the hillside picture before I leave here.
You do that. Don't let them say you're a fool to dream, Tim. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Rick?
Oh, you want to talk to Rick? Yes, here, it's me. Hi.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hi, what's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to say I really hate Frankenberry. That cereal is just disgusting.
Well, those cereals all sound so good in theory. The only good thing about those cereals is they leave that nice sugary flavored milk when you're done. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, that's the delicious part of the whole cereal.
Yes, it's true.
The milk is the best.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm glad you're going to be on for another hour next week, so I won't be able to get anything done.
Well, I like to think
I'll probably get fired, too.
Well, there you go. So the key, sir, is to pick things out of the trash and to chew your food thoroughly so you think you're eating more.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. That's Tim. Let's do one more. It's Sean on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Sean.
Hey.
Hey.
I had an aunt that worked for General Mills.
Okay. Oh, General Mills, which is there, the home of the monster cereals.
Right. It was Blueberry, Frankenberry, Count Chocula, and one called Yummy Mummy.
Now, see, there was Yummy Mummy, but I do believe...
Fruit Brute.
And I do believe there was also a Mummy Marshmallow at one point in the 80s. I would have accepted... I would have accepted Mummy Marshmallow. But bonus points for mentioning Fruit Brute, famously resurrected in the movie Pulp Fiction. There you go. All right, thank you. Congratulations, sir. All right, there you go. That's Sean. All right. We're going to break here so Sarah Dillon's head doesn't explode. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Coming up, seeing the radio correspondent Jim Roop. Top 5 rock and roll screams. Top 10 Ron Popeil products of all time. And later on, we'll talk about Beer Fest. Don't go anywhere. Rock and roll on it. Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. All right, coming up in a while, we got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Rick, this email says, Father John, where is your cod now? Okay, that's pretty funny. What else do we have? That's just endless serial email, which I will not read, by the way. But, Rick, you always bitch about being fired from a radio station, says Heidi. I was fired from ValueJet. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your firing. It's, Tim and I both had the same reaction. You couldn't hear it, but Tim started giggling at the same time. Here's the thing about ValueJet. It's gotta suck to be sitting there at home, you're eating your toast, you're drinking your morning cup of coffee, wearing a bathrobe, wondering what it is you're gonna do with that 401k when finally, you know, you finally cash it out. And then you turn on the news, and there's just a huge ValueJet explosion on television. Because of that, you just know. I mean, didn't it take that company like another 8 months to officially go out of business?
Yeah.
But I mean, you just know from that day forward. That's it, man. Just for the minute Janet Jackson's boob is exposed, you just know that whole freight train's coming down. However, I do have a great story and lots of ValueJet stuff. Shot glass, Coke bottle, T-shirts, jackets. That's like having Enron stuff at this point. Heidi, you got to slide us a little bit of your ValueJet swag. Let's see. Rick, is Chris one of those well-informed postal carriers we see parked in shady spots, quote, sorting the mail during the middle of the day? Your friend Frank. No, I'm sure that he's not like that at all. What else? Rick, about ignoring the bills and ignoring your significant other. You just described the talk that I had with my wife last night. What does emotionally unavailable mean anyway? And does that dinner thing really work? No, I don't mean to make light. I'm just saying that in many relationships, not unlike with the bill collector or the person who sends the notice to your house or whatever, you can put off and put off and put off and put off, and then it's like one... Just like when they finally turn off your power and they send you the thing stamped like final notice or whatever. Because as Sarah and I were both saying, it's not that I intentionally try to screw people that I owe money to. It's not the case at all. It's not that I don't have the money usually to pay a bill. It's just that, like, it's so hard because you got to find a stamp. And then, like, it's, you know.
It is in envelopes. And then there's always the fear that they overcharged you for something. I have a fear that I get overcharged for things because I have before.
Here's the fear I have sometimes. I will have the fear. We are just the most erotic, idiot white people. Are the people in Iraq have fear that they're going to be blown into little pieces sometime during the day?
I have fear of opening a letter.
You know, paying my cable bill is so stressful. But I have this. This is the fear I get sometimes. I'll look over at the pile of bills that just in my place. Where do you put your bills? Because there's the same place. Everybody has one place where they just stack the mail. Just,
yeah, they pile up next to my computer in my room.
Me, and it's next to the toaster oven in the kitchen, which really is probably not the wisest place to be putting a huge stack of paper. But it'll just pile up and pile up. And I'll be there in the morning sometimes, like pouring the milk into my coffee, and I'll look over. And then I feel that pang of guilt. And here's what I'll do. I'll actually take the bills and turn them, like, face down so that I can't see. Like, I'll get something in the mail, it's like, Verizon, you know, and it says, like, must pay, like, we will kill you. And I'll take the envelope and put the envelope face down there so that I can't see that it says Verizon, so it's just a white blank piece of paper. Because I will get this fear sometimes with my bills. I will be afraid to pay a bill because it's like, I get so many of them because, again, I'm so lazy.
It gets a little overwhelming.
It does get overwhelming, and so I will get, like, let's say, 10 bills from Comcast saying, like, no, seriously, we're going to turn you got to turn all your crap off. You got to pay this. And by the time I finally get around to, like, fine, Jesus, I'll get off the couch, you know, to pay. Fine, I'll get the checkbook out. Sons of bitches. By the time I do that, I've received so many notifications about the debt, about the bill that I owe, that I'm no longer sure which physical, like, paper bill I should be responding to. You know what I mean? And I don't want to sort through all of them.
Last date.
I don't want to sort through them all, so I'll just pick one at random. I'll pick the first one that I find in the pile, like the first Verizon bill I find. But then, of course, I think, well, they've probably billed me again since then, so this probably isn't even the accurate amount anyway. I'll call them tomorrow and find out. And then I just put it back in the pile, and then it's just back to the sofa. And I'm calling no one the next day. I know that. I know that. Everyone knows that. There's going to be no following up by anyone about anything. And yet, you know what it is? It's a little salve on my guilt. Let me go back to sit on the sofa and watch some more Law and Order. Okay, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, we don't have Roop now?
I don't know. Scotty J, oh, what time? It's 1:40.
So, yeah, I booked him.
The hell is the time going?
3:30. 4:30.
Scotty J, can you find out the deal with Jim KSL Delio? Roop? Jim Roop? Or whatever. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello again, comrades. Police say that Lake Oswego rape report is bogus. Apparently, the other day, Elizabeth Ann Brown was cited for filing a false police report in connection with her report of being kidnapped and raped earlier in the week. Apparently, this happened after she and her boyfriend got in a fight. He forgot their anniversary. She left the house.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And made up the story
are
that she was raped when
me?
She came.
Oh, she ought to be taken out back and beaten with a shovel. And I'm telling you that right now. She made up a story about being kidnapped and raped by him?
Because, by this other fellow, not her boyfriend. She was raped by a smelly stranger.
Well, so she claimed, but she wasn't.
Right, right.
Did she say the person? Did she make a specific false accusation against somebody?
Yes, but she didn't identify the person.
In other words, she didn't say, it was John Smith.
No.
Okay, but was she trying to get her boyfriend's attention?
Apparently so.
Okay, yeah.
Forgot their anniversary.
Yeah, beaten with a shovel.
Well, that's that.
There you go. Seriously, there's a special place in hell for that woman. All right, there you go. That's, you know what it is? And she's...
There's a special place in Lake Oswego.
Speaking of that, I was going to say, you know what? She's on that same hellbound Amtrak right next to that idiot teen couple that left the dog in the car a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. They're all sitting on the same bus, headed for the place with the guy with the pointy stick and the horns.
Well, let's see what John Carr is up to today. The suspect in the murder of JonBenet Ramsey. This is back to number two now. We're going back to the sound bites.
Okay.
Apparently, this Sheriff Joe Peely says they will segregate him from the general prison population.
That's due largely to the charges that he's facing. We want to make sure that he's safe and secure, and that's one of our responsibilities.
In Oz lingo, they're not going to put him in Gen Pop. That's what they say there.
Oh, the sucks.
In the joint, yeah.
What's Mr. Carr going to do during his time in jail?
He will talk to the mental health staff. He'll talk to the medical staff. He'll talk to our booking staff. They'll fill out various forms.
All right.
So there you go. Well, his family. Do we have more news about him?
Yeah, I do.
That thing about his family swearing.
Oh, yes, I do. Here we go.
Yeah.
John Mark Carr's brother insists today that Carr did not kill JonBenet Ramsey. Absolutely not. Emphatically, without a doubt.
Well, of course, because if you're the family, no matter what you know or suspect, you will immediately dig in and claim that he didn't do it. Because it's, relatively speaking, you would rather be linked with a guy in your family who's a little wacky than a guy who had a fondness for six-year-olds and liked to duct tape them. So you don't want to be associated with that guy.
I can say without question from this time that John had children, and he has never missed a Christmas with his family. And that's any Christmas. And addressing his brother, Nate Carr said, "We love and support you 100%. Help is on the way."
Yeah, well, okay.
Whatever you say. Block three.
Here's, by the way, a thing that I'm not going to click on. It's an email just containing a link to a picture titled twovaginas.jpg. And you know,
that's not safe.
This was sent to me exactly right after we had the story about the man with the two members. Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm doing right now. Chaz, I'm hitting delete. Okay, that's never going to be seen by me. Thank you. All right, here you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, despite the ongoing bloodshed, U.S. military commanders in Iraq remain optimistic. At a Baghdad news conference, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Shalark was pressed about corruption within the ranks of the Iraqi security force.
There's no way you can deny that there's efforts to do that. The same as in corruption in parts of the government. It's a young government. It's going to happen.
Okay.
We love Iraqi children. Therefore, a three-year-old Iraqi girl named Amima, who is deaf as a result of, she's never been able to learn how to speak. Well, she was found by a special forces soldier in Iraq looking for such children. It was arranged with the International Children's Fund for her to come to Miami and receive an implant to restore her hearing. After the operation, Dr. Thomas Beckley said the surgery was a smashing success.
The programming went very well. All of the computerized channels are operative right now and working just as they should be.
Good Lord. I don't, what is it?
Was that her?
Yes, maybe. And what computerized channels? Have we given her bionic ears? That'd be pretty cool.
Or OnStar. I'm not sure exactly what she got.
OnStar right into her head.
So it's back to Iraq she goes, and have a nice life.
What? Okay. OnStar inside your head.
That would be bad, wouldn't it?
Okay. That's coming right after we get... That's right after the mark of the beast on my wrist.
Well, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin criticized efforts to redevelop the World Trade Center site when confronted on a television interview you'll see in 60 Minutes. Sunday, they haven't released a sound, but it said, you guys in New York can't get a hole in the ground fixed, and it's 5 years later, so let's be fair.
Well, that is a fair point, and I know that's an unpopular thing to say, and a thing that I will probably not repeat to Gary Baumgarten.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have a little bit of a point there, in that I don't think anybody means to sound disrespectful. I don't think anybody's trying to. Why are you doing that? Why did you just do that?
Mailman Chris sent that to me.
Of course, he didn't though, because that would be wrong for him to have done that.
Yeah.
Sarah, someone legally distinct.
Somebody who wasn't him.
Somebody who wasn't sorting the mail. Just sent you. Why would you send a picture of just a magazine that had a distended stomach on the front of it?
He was the one who sent me the picture with the suckling baby.
He didn't do that, because that would be wrong.
No,
flinking, I think Jim Roop may be in our presence.
He doesn't pre-sort the mail.
Once again, someone distinct from him.
Someone, mailman Chaz, photographed a magazine cover and sent that to us. Chris would never do any of this thing. No, here's the thing. No one means this Ray Nagin thing. I suspect this is going to be one of those little brouhaha, one of those tempest in a teacup things. And have you noticed this, too? That there's no longer any need to actually buy magazines or watch television shows, because it's like when you were a kid. Let's say when you were like 13, 14, and you'd pick up whatever it is for girls or boys, like the Harlequin or the Playboy or the whatever, and you're scanning through for like for the naughty bits. You're scanning through whatever it is, that book that your mom leaves around the house or something. You're like looking for like the love scene or whatever. Like in Peyton Place, you're scanning for the Moonlight Swim section. And you would scan through looking for the juicy sections. Well, that's what they do with magazines. There'll be one incendiary section of a magazine or of a television interview. But the great thing about the internet is we have now reached the point where you don't actually need to watch a whole television show or read a book or read a magazine, because all of the like really salacious sections that they're using to sell it will be excerpted and published on every blog in the world like a month before it comes out, like this Ray Nagin thing.
Yes.
So he made this observation. And I only say this because you're going to see a bunch
people
of
are shocked.
Right wingers trying
something
to
must be done.
Well, but I don't think anybody's trying to sound disrespectful. But as somebody was saying last night, the World Trade Center, that hole in the ground, as he calls it, the Ground Zero area, how big is that? Do you suppose?
I don't know. I've never been there.
I mean, it's what? It's a few dozen blocks square, probably.
So, yes.
It's a few dozen blocks square. They've repaired everything around it. And 5 years goes by, and it's still just kind of sitting there. And at this point, it's not out of respect. It's just because New York can't seem to get their act together enough to sort of, you know, to figure out what to do there. New Orleans is big. New Orleans is big and has been there. It took 300 years to create. So the idea that in 1 year they have not been able to fix a city that it took 300 years to build, you know, that's a little more acceptable to me than the fact that they got something a few square blocks that's been there for 5 years that they can't fix. That's probably an unpopular thing to say, but not without merit. Is this Jim Roop?
All right. I imagine so.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, sir.
How's life in the bustling city of Angels?
Life's beautiful, man.
Is it really? You having a fine day down there?
You know, it's beautiful. The weather's great. A little cool. It's not bad. You know, John Mark Carr is out of town. It's shaping up to be a nice weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Did you move to Los Angeles to take the news gig, or were you living in L.A. before you got this gig?
I've been here for 26, 27 years. I've only been working for CNN about six.
Really? So give us your career trajectory in terms of geography. Where you moved? Where you
started in Cincinnati. Worked my way out here in 1980. And then have been fired from some of the greatest radio stations in Los Angeles over the past 20 years.
Now, from where have you been fired, if you don't mind telling us?
KFI.
Really?
KKGO. KRLA, KIEV, K-West was the first big firing. That was devastating. It was 6 weeks after I moved here.
What did you do? Oh, we were just talking about that. Radio stories, man, were you... here's another one. This is, I was telling a story earlier about a guy I had to fire, and I convinced this guy to leave his whole life behind, move from Washington to Utah. He was there like 10 days, and the GM made me fire him.
Yeah. This one, they sold the station. They paid, you know, thank goodness I was union at the time, so I got paid for the year, which helped me find another job. Then I was out of radio for a while. I worked at Marineland for 4 years.
What did you do at KFI?
Well, I started there when it was music. And then I was fired, and then I got hired back. I was doing talk.
Fantastic. Were you doing a talk radio program?
Yes, sir.
Now, was that a thing you enjoyed? Were you good at that?
No, I loved it, yeah. I did that at KIEV also. I had two talk gigs.
And so now, what manner of talk radio did you do?
Nothing compared to you, sir.
Thank you. That is the best answer. No, I mean,
it was topic-driven.
Topic-driven? Was it,
yeah.
It was sort of a like a John and Ken kind of a thing, or...?
Without the Ken.
Fantastic.
Yeah. At one time I had a partner.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was Mike and Jim for a while. I didn't like having second billing, so I got rid of him.
Well done. That is a radio person right there.
There you go.
You went to the GM and Mike is dealing cocaine out of the bathroom. Something's going to have to be done.
He said, I know. That's where I get mine from.
Exactly. You'll have to send us an air check one of these days.
Yeah, I got oldies air checks. I have talk air checks. Like you name it, I got.
Oldies. What other music? Okay, now what music?
I worked at WGRR in Cincinnati for a while.
Is that the only music air check that you have?
Oh God, no.
Okay, what?
I've done jazz. I've done AOR back when it was AOR.
AOR, really? Where at?
At WFIB in beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio.
AOR Radio in Cincinnati. That's pretty great.
AM AOR, too, man. Believe that.
And for people, if you don't know what AOR is, AOR is...
Album-oriented rock.
Album-oriented rock, which for people who live here is a little bit like KUFO, but a little more classic rock. It's sort of KGON is effectively an AOR station at this point. So
good times, man. That was a great station to work for.
And so, again, what year would this have been that you were doing rock radio?
78, 79.
See, that must have been the sweetest time. That's a time that I was not around for, but that I look back on, and to me, when I talk to guys who did rock radio in the 70s, it's like being Will Ferrell or Chris Kattan or somebody talking to the guys who were there on SNL with Aykroyd and Belushi. Do you know what I mean? You look back and you're like, "What? Tell me again, Father Roop, about the golden age of rock radio. Tell me what it was like to, you know, to work, you know, in Freeform FM or whatever the hell." And because I missed that whole era.
Oh, it was great, man. You know, we just, there was no real program director. We just had to write down the stuff we played so the guy coming in after us didn't repeat the same stuff. And he just had a huge library, and the album cuts just went on forever.
And it was just nothing but payola and whores.
Oh, of course.
Oh, boy. Good times. All right, well, we could talk about drugs and prostitution all day, but we have to talk about... They got you at the Emmys this weekend, right, Sunday?
Yes, they do, yeah.
All right. I can't remember if we were talking to you or we were just speculating among ourselves. We might as well just start calling this just another freaking awards show. That's really, I think, what we're going to start labeling all of these as, because...
I think the problem here is that there's just too many of them.
That's...
And so...
They all drift together, yeah.
First of all, this is real early in the year. You're talking August. You know, and that's only because it has to be done on a Sunday, first of all, because you can't tie up Hollywood or Los Angeles during the week. But the problem is NBC has every Sunday tied up with football, so they have to move it to this one. So what tells you? That tells you how much the network cares.
I'm reading this right here. It says NBC's Emmy Award-winning coverage, Emmy Award coverage will get underway early this week. Let me ask you this. Do they give Emmys for the Emmy show? In other words, is the Emmy show itself eligible for an Emmy?
Yes, as is the Oscars, as is the Grammys, all those shows.
That's retarded. With a pre-show 2006, who sits down and structures their life around watching an Emmy pre-show hosted by Nancy O'Dell, whoever the hell that is? I don't even know who Nancy O'Dell is. Does anyone know who Nancy O'Dell is?
No.
Works for one of those Entertainment Tonight type shows.
All right. Well, anyway. Let's see. We've got a little sound clip here. 2006 Emmy Red Carpet Special co-host Billy Bush says, oh, God, the show will include a sketch featuring him and Desperate Housewives star Eva Longoria. God damn. All right, let's hear what he has to say.
She was standing 2 feet away from me with not a stitch of clothing on, And after it comes out of the editing room, you know, obviously it's NBC, you won't see everything, but it's daring and it's funny.
It's daring. Because that's what you think of when you think of the Emmy Awards. You think daring.
Stupid.
All right. Well,
it's, you know, I hate this stuff. And the worst part about it is dealing with entertainment reporters.
I was just going to ask, actually, if it's... Now, you, Jim Rubin, again, not to denigrate you, because you know that in our eyes you are a golden god. But now, are you there, kind of on the flanking the red carpet? Do they have a little room they herd you into? Where do you go, and what do you do on Emmy night?
Well, I don't really work the red carpet, only because you can only use the stuff once, and then it's no good. Because once the show starts, you know, then it's the winners and the losers. So I'm usually just in the press tent. And the backstage area, after the winners pick up their trophies on stage, they come back and talk to the press.
All right. And so are you shoulder to shoulder with all the other entertainment reporters?
Yes, unfortunately.
Are they all hideous?
Well, they're morons, every single one of them. They ask the dumbest questions. They think they're the stars, bigger than the stars themselves. They actually think they're buddies with them. It's the worst day you could ever have as a general assignment correspondent, because you happen to be on that beat. It's one of the things I have to cover, and it's the absolute, which I'd rather cover anything else.
You know, it is really this kind of unfettered enthusiasm which makes us such rabid fans of you, Jim Rope. So, is anything good nominated this year, or is it all crap?
Oh, well, The Office is nominated.
Well, that's good.
You know, I like that one.
That show's gotten a lot better than it was. That show has actually become very strong.
Yeah, you know, it suffered for a while there, but it took time to work out. And it's got this, I don't know what you call it, but... the snub buzz about it. It's been snubbed so many times for awards that I think people are starting to like it, because as far as these idiots who vote for these awards, it's kind of cool to like The Office now.
Sure. Well, and again, because it is, and I think people recognize that The Office is a little smarter than the average
sitcom. Well, it is, and they like the fact that they are voting for a smart show.
Exactly, because then they can bask in the reflected smartness.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is a good one this year only because they have this new voting process that a blue ribbon panel has put together so that the same old slugs aren't there every year. I mean, there's 50% of the faces in the shows that are in the Emmys this year are brand new.
The other thing about covering the Emmys is there's nobody really, really hot at the Emmys. It's not like when you're covering the Oscars and like Charlize Theron is going to walk by or something. At the Emmys, it's just, you know, it's just going to be Kevin James. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. That's exactly right.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend to whatever extent that's possible, my friend. By Monday morning, it'll all be over.
You know, that's what I look forward to, man. By Monday noon, I'm a human being again.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, we will we'll get you Monday. Get your bio-filled recap, sir.
I'll try and get some great sound for you.
All right. Thank you, my friend, Jim Roop. Have a good weekend, brother.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. All right. We'll take a break here. We come back. More from Tim Riley at the City Desk. Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. What else? We'll talk about Ron Popeil. Try to squeeze in that top five list as well. 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.